Broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. My name is Matt Aaron. We got a show for you. One of the things we try to do here is discover facts. Find those facts. Nail them down. Use science to bring the truth out. My guest tonight is going to talk about Bigfoot. And just before you go, oh my gosh, Bigfoot. Here's the thing, folks. You don't know what you don't know. I'm talking about true science here. I'm talking about facts that's going to blow your mind. She's a doctor. Dr. Mel Ketchum. She joins us now from her wonderful, can I call it a ranch?
Yes.
And she, tell us about yourself. Tell me about who you are and what it is that drives you to do what you do.
Well, I wasn't driven to do any genetics on the Sasquatch for sure. It was kind of backed into it. Thought I would disprove it. I didn't believe they existed. I say that every time because I didn't. There was a local sighting by a friend of mine, and I laughed. I'm ashamed of it now, but I did. I laughed. I don't know how much your audience knows, but I ran a genetics laboratory for, 20-plus years. And we did all types of testing. We did forensic testing. That was my love. We did human cases, animal cases, mixed cases. We did death penalty cases. We did innocence project cases. I worked to help analyze the World Trade Center victims. I've done work for the FBI. So as far as forensic science, We were good at it.
Folks, so, hold on. Before you go any further, I have to point this out. That you, who you are, and what you do, this is, you have this reputation with the FBI, different criminal labs. You're testing victims for 9/11 and pulling DNA and trying to help Okay, this is no joke. Your science is no joke. I mean, this is how I love this. This is right here. This is why we do what we do, folks. This is real science. This is no joke. Please continue. This is astounding.
Well, I wanted to preface it because I've taken so much heat over this project. I was international chair for a number of standing committees elected by my peers. So I wasn't the haters, they love to say, the kitty cat vet. My degree's in veterinary medicine. In Europe, most of the people that do the type of forensics and genetics that I did are veterinarians. In this country, they tend to be PhDs, so they tend to throw that up. But like I say, what we've done speaks louder than anything else, because I've done it for a long time. What we did, actually, what happened was that people would send us samples for species identification. Say something killed one of their animals and it left some hair on the fence, they'd send it and want to know what it was. And that was a simple test done with mitochondrial DNA, which is maternally inherited. But it'll give you the sequence, the DNA sequence. Which is the arrangement of the nucleotides in a certain pattern. And those patterns tell you what type of animal or human that you have. As far as humans, it will tell you what region of the world they originally came from. And in animals, it gives you the species. And it can give you subspecies, too. So it's very exacting. And about once a year, we did a sample for Bigfoot, and we used to laugh. I mean, seriously, I mean, we'd do it for the people, but for years it would turn out to be a goat or a raccoon or something. Nothing extraordinary at all. So we just didn't believe, and, you know, we'd just laugh when we'd get one. And then it changed. I got a sample that was supposedly from a Yeti from a television show called Destination Truth. And we got a little, it was non-human hair, and we got some human results on it. And it was hair that was embedded in some fiber. And I really, you know, to me it wasn't really definitive because of the extra fiber there. It was a pure sample, pure human. But it wasn't definitive enough to suit me on that one sample. So I kind of put it aside. But whenever the show came on, we started getting literally hundreds of samples from people claiming that they had Bigfoot hair. And two of the original samples that we got actually were from, one was from an eyewitness sighting, and the other one was from one that had other evidence along with it. Footprints where it had torn through the cage to kill some peacocks and actually sat there and plucked them and then walked out leaving these huge footprints.
Oh, my gosh.
And so those two samples, we still laughed. But we tested them, and it was definitely non-human hair. It looked, as far as just the shape and the wave of it, it was almost like horse mane hair. And it was about 3 or 4 inches long. And the follicle on it, or the tissue tag that was on the hair, it was not shaped like a human tissue tag or follicle or whatever. I'm saying follicle for people to understand. It's actually a tissue tag. Like when you pull out a hair, it's plucked out. There's a little tag on the end of it. And that has good DNA in it. It has both nuclear as well as mitochondrial DNA. And once again, the mitochondrial DNA is maternally inherited. It comes from your mother's lineage. So anyway, we tested that and got human results. I couldn't believe it. We retested it several times. And it was mind-blowing because this wasn't supposed to happen.
So then
I knew there was something to this.
So the story is there was a Bigfoot sighting that all kinds of damage, destruction was done.
No, he was digging in a trash bin.
Oh, sorry, digging in a trash bin.
And when he pulled out, he hung his arm on the edge of the trash bin, and it plucked out some hair.
Gotcha. So the people that you laughed at when you called them back and you said, okay, what is this? What was their response?
Well, I already knew the story. I just didn't believe it. I thought it was like all the other ones that would send in, that it wasn't going to be anything.
So out of all the ones that were sent in, that you had sent in, let me rephrase that question. How many samples did you get?
Oh, we had done probably 8 or so, over about one a year. And then, like I say, Destination Truth brought in a whole lot of samples. But these two came in a little earlier than the Destination Truth, post-Destination Truth samples. These two were like our yearly samples, except they came with a story attached. That was, could have been feasible, I thought, but, you know, I still didn't trust it. I didn't think we'd get anything, and then we did.
So, what, can you talk about the genetics for a minute? I mean, you say you tested it and it had human DNA with it, but what does it make you think that it's Bigfoot hair?
Okay, well, first of all, you can look at it and see it's clearly not from a human being. Yet we wash this hair thoroughly, as would any forensic sample. You know, a hair sample, you can wash them thoroughly and get rid of any contaminating DNA, so that the only DNA you're going to get is from whatever the species is that had the hair. And this hare looked nothing like human hare. Nothing. It was way too large to be human hare. And it had a natural end on it that was, you know, it was like 3 or 4 inches long and a natural wave. And so, in other words, its grown length was only 3 or 4 inches. And yet it was, and it tapered at the end. It wasn't like it was cut hair. So it was natural hair, clearly non-human hair, clearly gave a clean profile with no contamination because the profiles will overlap on your graphic representation if there's more than one species in there. It's clear when it's contaminated. And it wasn't. And it was clearly human. So we had non-human hair given human results, and we, you know, did another hair and retested, and each time we got the same thing. So there was, and it was on two samples. And so I knew we had something unusual here. It just shouldn't happen that way.
So we're not talking about, on this one particular case, just one hair. You're talking about multiple hairs that were actually tested.
Yes. Of the same, from the same collection. On these first two samples, we had multiple hairs.
That's crazy. So I guess where I'm going to try to go with this when we come back from the break is I want to get into more of the genetics on what that can tell you, what it means, what that kind of... I guess I'm really wanting to get more into the science on this, so that way, I mean, you're the right person for that. And I think not only can we get into the science a little bit more, but what does that tell us about this creature? This is incredible. She laughs and then turns around and finds something real. That's science. And then to actually face up and say, yes, this is the real thing. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. We're talking about Bigfoot and real science with it. Dr. Ketchum, and I'm gonna say it wrong probably one or two more times, and then you can hit me with something across on the phone there, and I'm so sorry. We were talking about the science behind this, the DNA, and then you also say the genome. Now, most of the people out there do not know the difference between DNA and genome and what those two pieces of information tell us. I don't personally know. I know 3% probably of what you know. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 1.5. No, 0.5% of what you know. Can you lead us down this path on real science here?
Okay. So a species identification test, there's two types of DNA genomes that a person has. One is the mitochondrial genome, which is DNA that's contained in a little organelle inside the cell itself in the cytoplasm called a mitochondria. It only comes from the mother because when fertilization occurs, the mitochondria in the sperm, the tail drops off, and that's where they're located. So the mitochondrial DNA is, you know, 99.5% the mother's. I mean, there's a rare case where you'll get a small father signature, but for the most part, it's all the mother or maternal DNA. So that's how you can tell where it's on anything and the species, because normally you don't have a hybrid species. And in this case, we had this strange hair that was given a human. The genome, the mitochondrial genome, was human. Now, we have the nuclear genome, and that's the one that contains both the mother and the daddy. That's the typical DNA that most people talk about. And it is, of course, you this is where you can also go for the father's side with the Y chromosome. And the Y chromosome is, I'm sorry, is that?
No, you're good. Just keep going. You're good.
Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, the Y chromosome you can trace back for a paternal lineage, and that's in the nuclear DNA. So you can kind of look for origins on the male side from the Y chromosome if it's a male sample. Of course, you can't get it on a female sample because it has two X chromosomes. Anyway, so the first part of our testing was a species identification, which turned out to be human. And when we started getting all these other samples in, and there were hundreds of them, we decided we didn't. It was not economically feasible to test all of them. So I sent them to a forensic hair analyst that I knew, and he went through and sorted them for unknown hair versus known hair. So if he could tell, like, it was a dog's hair, we didn't go any further with the testing on that. This is all in our scientific paper. He wrote that part of the paper with his expertise and with photographs. And those are found at SasquatchGenomeProject.org. Anyway, so once they were sorted, we went back and we did the mitochondrial DNA on them, and they all came back human, every one of them. And after we had those results, we decided we better outsource this stuff because nobody's going to believe one lab on it. We ended up using 12 laboratories, and most of those labs did not know what they were testing, because they wouldn't have done it if they did. So we just said we had some samples we needed testing, and would they do it, and how much would it cost? And we had a benefactor, Wally Hersom, step forward, and Adrian Erickson, and they both funded 99% of the project. And so we were on our way. And we sent out to University of Texas. We sent out to Texas A&M University. We sent out to the University of Southern California, North Carolina State, Johns Hopkins. We sent to major laboratories. And these were accredited laboratories and university laboratories, all with great reputations. And in some cases, it was a double-blind study, meaning they didn't know what it was, and sometimes we sent the same sample in twice from two different extractions done at two different labs, so that, and they came back identical, just like they were supposed to. So we had a lot of quality checks in place. These places ran, as well as we did, positive and negative controls to make sure the science was right and not contaminated. We took every precaution possible because this was something that had not been done before, not on an alleged Sasquatch. And there was still a part of me that had a little difficulty believing it, even though I knew it was novel. I knew it was different. But it was just kind of overwhelming to think that these things could actually exist. So anyway, we started testing next the nuclear DNA. And this is where it got really interesting, because most of the DNA from the father's side was unknown. We had huge amounts of unknown DNA in these samples. And like we did what's called YSTRs, which is a male lineage test that is kind of mirrors the mitochondrial DNA for females. And you can trace your male lineage back using YSTRs. And the standard YSTRs that are used in humans did not work very well at all. Almost none of them worked on these samples. So that pointed us in the direction of hybridization. these things come from a human female. They originally came from a human female as far as their mother, their maternal lineage. The father's side, the male progenitor of the species, is mostly unknown. Now, with that said, there is, I haven't really put out the full report on the final analysis of the whole genomes because that took quite a while after the paper to get everything finished. But there are, let's just say they're genetically engineered. They shouldn't exist.
That's...
So they're not, they're a hybrid. They are not a natural born creature. Now, they can reproduce amongst themselves, but most hybrids are sterile. Like ligers, which is, you know, lion and tiger, or a mule. I mean, you get a rare mule that can foal, but mostly they don't. Mostly they're sterile. And that's with most hybrid species, and this is not the case with these things. They can reproduce.
But what you're saying is majority of the DNA that you tested.
The majority of the DNA is unknown.
Well,
there's some other species sprinkled in for good measure, and human.
But what you're saying is, though, is a human female gave birth to this.
Yes, that was the original lineage. And, I mean, we did over 100 samples, and they all showed the human lineage on the mother's side.
So
that means the species originated with something crossing with a human female, a modern human female. And with DNA, the mutation rate in mitochondrial DNA, you can basically determine about how old a sample is. Under current science, you get one mutation every so many years. So they can figure up that, you know, this originated about this time. It's not quite as simple with a hybrid, but basically you can go back to the earliest point. So, in other words, if a particular mitochondrial DNA type happened about 13,000 years ago, that was the first time it would make an appearance, then the species couldn't be any older than that. Or if it was, you know, 20,000 years ago, it couldn't be any older than that, because that's when that particular DNA mitochondrial haplogroup or type came into existence. So the oldest sample that we had was an African origin sample, and it was rare, and it was 25,000 years. The youngest sample was 13,000 years. So they could be no older than 25,000 years old as far as the species. They're a modern species in reference. They're not like a lot of people say that they think they're ancient men or whatever, ancient precursors to humanity or whatever they want to call it, missing link. It's just not true, because human beings were here before they were. They're a relatively recent addition. Now, with that said, some of them could be much younger in their origins, because, like, for instance, since the African sample was what I call an outlier, it was rare compared to the other numbers of samples. There's a possibility that perhaps there was a slave woman that escaped back, say, in the 1700s, 1800s. That was black and had relations with a Sasquatch, because that's been reported in a lot of stories over the years, especially with Native Americans, where their maidens would get snatched. They'd go out to get water or something, and a Bigfoot would take them, and they would have children from them. So this could have happened. So the hybridization could be much more recent on an outlier like the African sample. I was surprised because we only had a couple of Native American samples come in where the female lineage was Native American. Most of it was European, or Middle Eastern. We had more of the Middle Eastern type T2 than anything. And then the next was the European type, which were even younger.
So you would have to say that definitely Bigfoot came from... Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue this. Over 100 samples, multiple labs. This is no joke. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Oh yeah, this is a good show. Dr. Ketchum. Ketchum. I'm terrible at saying that. You said ketchup once and said it's like that, and then I keep doing it over, and I am so sorry.
It's no big deal, really.
Here's the deal. If you, and from my understanding, you've testified in court, correct?
Yes. I've also been through a FRI hearing to qualify to testify, considering we did novel things with DNA.
Here's the question that I'm going to pose to you. If you took what you have right now, and let's just say it wasn't Bigfoot, but you were talking about a crime case and you were trying to prove something in court with a jury panel, with science, multiple other people, with the labs that were involved, with the science that's involved here so far, would you walk away with the verdict on your side?
Absolutely, because criminal cases are solved with just a simple panel of, you know, just a few markers or just a few. Remember I mentioned YSTRs? That's one panel that's used in forensics to determine a male lineage. But the STR test is what's used, and we did far, 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 far beyond that. We did things that have never even been done in forensics to go to the depth of that we went, including whole genomes, because whole genomes have not been used in forensics. They are not needed because you can get, you know, basically identity off the STR markers.
How many points of data are in your standard court case DNA versus a genome project?
Well, it depends on what they're doing and what they're after. But
let me rephrase the question like this. You're going to send somebody to prison for life. How many markers or points of data that say yes and no, yes and no, that are yes and no's from one to whatever, versus that in a court case to what you've done with this project?
Okay, well, we actually did the court markers on these samples too, and they are 16 STR markers, only 16. And that will give you, you know, really close to identity on human beings. And they ran on some of those markers, and I'm talking nuclear DNA here. But some of them didn't run at all, and others ran with what we call off-lateral alleles, meaning that they had a particular marker that would not fall where a human marker would fall. It would fall different than a human marker, larger or smaller. So they were unique in that way. And also something unique about that test is it only works in human beings and large apes. So that excluded any other animals. They would not have run anything on that test if they had been anything other than what they are.
Interesting. So going back to where these Bigfoot Sasquatches were originally from. It sounds like they were more, you were saying they were more from the Middle East and over in that area.
And Europe, yes. Those are the, that was the majority of the samples gave us those locations of origin for the human female.
Interesting.
The mother.
So if somebody were to say to you today, you know, I just saw one of these things and so on and so forth, should I be afraid? Should I be scared? What's your opinion on that?
The answer is yes and no. There are good ones and there are bad ones. The good ones wouldn't harm you for the world. The bad ones will eat you. And it's my opinion that some of the disappearances in the national parks are probably caused by the bad ones. I've had a whistleblower come forward and tell me about government special forces that go in and kill a whole clan of these things after they've had people go missing. So I know that there's a program to remove them when there's a problem. I've seen them. I've had people take me out. I've seen them on my own at this point. Now, we're talking right before or not long before I published the paper, so I was pretty well into this, and I got talked into going to actually see them, and you can see them. And they're not vicious at all. They're not even scary. They're huge, but they're not scary. They just stand there and look at you, basically. I mean, there's other things, too, but basically, you know, the ones I saw, they were just looking at me, and I was looking at them. But with that said, these people are called habituators that interact with them. And the ones they interact with are not bad. They're peaceful. They're sentient beings. But there are those that will kill you, and they will eat you.
Sounds a lot like the human race.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, if you were to, again, estimate average intelligence of Bigfoot.
They're more intelligent than we are in some ways, and unlike us in others. Their senses are much better than ours. However, they don't use technology like we do. They don't understand technology like we do. So they have the human, but they also have the lack of human because they're a hybrid. And so with that said, you know, the intelligence is there. They can avoid us easily. It is simple for them to avoid us. They can survive in conditions that we could never survive in. And they can do things that I can't even start to explain. Don't even want to try. But as far as you know, technology and mechanics like we use, like we have, no, they don't understand that.
Would you say they have more of a respect for the environment around them?
Yes, I would say so. I think they're, in that way, I think they're much more in tune in nature than we are. They obviously know how to use nature to their advantage much more than we do. And just being able to survive in the wild in all environments, and that's breathtaking. They can survive in the north of Canada, and they can survive down here in the heat of Texas, even with all that hair. So, you know, they're extremely adaptable. And there's large numbers of them. People seem to think, oh, there's one or two. It's not the case. They're everywhere, and, you know, I've seen 10 at one time. And it wasn't just me. There were other people with me at the time. So, with that said, you know, they're just not rare like people think. But they have the ability to hide from us.
Something you mentioned before, there, you said that this was off off the phone, you said there's some people that have a unusual obsession with Bigfoot or Bigfoots. I don't even know if the word Bigfoot fits the description. Sasquatch almost sounds like a demeaning thing. I mean, I don't know. It's been so coin phrased out there in our society. I'm kind of like, I don't even in like saying it that way at this point. You said people were obsessed.
Yeah, it bothers me that people are so obsessed with it. When somebody gets interested in a subject, I've noticed this because I almost went down that path myself. It's so fascinating to them that that's all they think about. They just want to prove it. That's all they want to think about. They don't think about their family. They don't think about, you know, any faith they might have. They don't think it's more important than everything in their lives. Their whole life is in this. And it's unhealthy. I mean, it's like, I just show mankind something that's a little unusual or even maybe supernatural, and they will run after it and worship it. And that's what's happening here. These people get so obsessed that that's all they want to talk about, think about. And, you know, they really need to think about their lives first. And then if they want to have a hobby of thinking about Sasquatch, go ahead. But, you know, it can't run your life like it runs the lives of so many of these people. And it's sad to me. I mean, I have a life outside of Sasquatch.
Sorry, I'm laughing because
that's the truth. I mean, yeah. You know, it's I don't live to go in the woods. I don't even have to go in the woods.
So,
you know, it's just, but, you know, people live to do that. They live to set every kind of trap imaginable, cameras that these things can clearly avoid. I mean, they sense them. The cameras just don't work. They don't want their picture taken.
So do they have like a, and I know this may sound like, I don't know how close you got or how.
Well, I've been very close.
So I guess the question I want to ask, do they have a language? Do they speak?
Yes, they have a language.
So that definitely increases, you know, these things are definitely more intelligent than my cat, and my cat knows me very well, and we have a really, really good relationship. So it sounds like to me they have a very massive sense of the earth, a massive sense of their own society and family, I guess would be a good way to put that.
They definitely are sentient beings.
Well, we got one more segment, and I'm going to tell you the science behind this is amazing. The website, you got to go to the website, SasquatchGenomeProject.org. There's so much material up there, it's amazing. We're going to come back from this break, I'm going to ask a few more questions, and we're going to let her go to bed. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. Massive amounts of science involving Sasquatch and Bigfoot. I'm telling you, folks, Dr. Ketchum has knocked this out of the park to the point, over 100 lab tests done, over multiple major name schools, multiple major name laboratories, everything you can imagine she followed to do scientific research on this. Got incredible results. You've heard the results. I have to ask you, how many people have tried to discredit you, make you feel intimidated, I mean, even you yourself, you said you laughed at it the first time you heard somebody say this.
But well, the ones that laugh, I'm not worried about. They're just not believers. They just don't know. There are two categories that are serious, though, and I just pray for them because that's all I can do. The first one are the people that are obsessed with Bigfoot and finding it. They want to be the first. I mean, I proved it exists. I used DNA. DNA can't be spun. It is what it is, and they don't like that. So I have haters that are that just will say anything to try to ruin me in any way they can. And then there is a government effort to suppress this, and I have that in writing. Whenever we were running the samples and were gathering in the data from the other labs, we actually had somebody sitting outside our lab, a government person. And it was a small town where I had my lab, and anybody who is different sticks out. And so we realized what was happening at the time. And one of my male employees went out to confront him, and he took off. He came back one time, and then I started to stop. I got a good look at the guy. And he took off, and then he wasn't visible again. Let's put it that way. So the government was making its appearance known at the time. But then it got more serious because there were people that were trying to help me get this information out. This was after the paper, which the paper turned out to be suppressed, too, because we went two rounds at Nature before being told they wouldn't publish. And it was very unfair the way it was done. The peer reviews as well as the appeal to Nature is on my website for everybody to see. The only thing they could come up with, they said contamination. Well, as a forensic scientist, I can guarantee you there was no contamination. And they didn't want to see the graphic proof that there was no contamination because you can prove it by looking at the DNA results.
And we're not talking about just one lab here. Remember
no,
that.
We're talking 12 labs besides mine because I didn't use my results. I used everybody else's results. I just put the paper together. I didn't even write the entire paper. My colleagues did. I mean, one of them was head of the department at Texas A&M. You know, other two worked in, one was head of probably the best forensic lab in the country, government lab short of the FBI. I had, you know, all PhDs and doctorates. I had a medical doctor that did histopathology on one of the samples. I mean, we had electron microscopy done on the DNA, and what's interesting is it showed hybridization because there were long strips of DNA, and normally it's double-stranded, and there would be these gaps, these single-stranded gaps where there was only one strand. And that was because the DNA did not align exactly right because these things are genetically engineered. They are genetically altered. They are hybrids. The DNA does not completely match up. It's been made to match up. And so we had all of this, all of our ducks in a row, and yet all they can come up with is contamination. And there is no geneticist that has come and been able to refute our work. Nobody. This one, Dr. Sykes, he attempted to just do some mitochondrial DNA. And one funny thing about them, the mitochondrial DNA, you can't get it from hair shafts. You can get mitochondrial DNA from hair shafts of just about every creature in the world, but you can't get it from Sasquatch. We have no reason why. We know it's just no DNA there for some reason. It's not an inhibitor. We went through 3 months of testing to figure this out. And this Dr. Sykes, he used hair shafts, so some of the samples from my study were there and they didn't run. And he says he doesn't know why, but yet he says, oh, but my stuff had to be contaminated. As a forensic scientist, I can guarantee you it wasn't contaminated. But if it had not been done well and done right, every geneticist in the world would have been jumping on this to disprove it. within 3 months of Sykes publishing his study, they had a group at Cambridge that came forth and disproved his study. Nobody has disproved mine. There's one chemist that has written a book that says, you know, that he found other stuff, but he's not a geneticist. He's not qualified. I have it where he supported it, and then he went against it, and then he supported it, and then he went against it. He doesn't know what he's doing. So nobody has disproven what we've found. And it's been corroborated by other geneticists. They just haven't gone public, and I haven't released some of the stuff that, or some of the data that I received that corroborates it. Not yet.
So there's more, but what you're saying is there's more on the horizon for this.
Oh, yes, yes. I already have some of it done. I'm just not ready to release it because it's not finished. But the government definitely does not want this out.
Why?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I guess the most common one is that probably the people wouldn't want to go to the national parks if they realize that there's giant hairy people staring at them, or hairy human crosses staring at them. And I can't, there's some disappearances that are due to some bad ones. Of course, there's disappearances from other causes, too, so you can't blame them for all of them. But there are some, there's good Bigfoots and there's bad Bigfoots or Sasquatch. And, you know, I always tell people, don't go into the woods alone. Take someone with you, just for protection's sake. So, but the government actively went after me. They went after people trying to help me get this out. They threatened their families. They told them never to speak to me again. Some of them did, months down the road, and told me what happened. I have it in writing. So, obviously, there is an agenda. Think Spotted Owl and think National Parks. And it's kind of like, I guess, aliens. It would freak people out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wish they had come to me and asked me to stop, because I would have. But no, they instead go after me personally because they can't spend DNA. And that's what I was told. It was told to one of the people that was threatened. Because they can't spend DNA, so they have to destroy me otherwise. And their pet thing to do is the contamination thing, or just to run me personally. Go after me personally, so with misinformation. So it's been something that's been destructive in my life. I'll say that. I wish I hadn't done it. If I'd have known it would turn out this way, I never would have touched it. But it is what it is. It's too late now. Horse is out of the gate. So, you know,
now,
I move forward.
The thing that gets me, though, is, I mean, whether or not if you have good ones and bad ones, I mean, if Sasquatch exists and Bigfoot exists, now I'm playing devil's advocate here. Why is it so terrible that they exist if it's just like you have good bears and bad bears? I mean, you know, being from where I'm from here in Tennessee, you know, up in East Tennessee, especially up in the woods, stars are beautiful at night. You can see everything in the sky. There's all kinds of critters out there at night. And you have bears, you have all kinds of stuff. I mean, if we had a Bigfoot, what's the big deal? I mean, I still don't.
Well, they're huge, for one thing. Just the sheer sight of them intimidates most people. I mean, when you're talking something 10 foot tall, there's reports from 8 foot to as much as 16 foot. Now, I don't know if I believe that tall, but, you know, definitely they can be very large. I mean, look at the ceiling of your house. Unless you've got raised ceilings, it's 8 feet. That's the short one.
Oh, jeez.
Imagine confronting something with a human face covered in hair that weighs 500 to 1,000 pounds staring at you, that's that tall. How would you feel?
I think the term would be very tiny.
Exactly. And, you know, most of them wouldn't hurt you at all. They'll just turn and walk off or disappear or whatever they do. But the there are aggressive ones. I mean, I have personal knowledge of some people getting killed by them. others barely escaping. So, and there's a military group that goes out and does away with these clans if they have a problem. But it's not easy because they have such intelligence. They're not like an animal. They know more, and they can sense more, and they can read you better. And they know the woods better than you do.
It's their home.
That's right. And you're infringing on it. And most of the time, if you get too close to, like, one of the youngsters, they can throw energy. Some people say it's infrasound. I think it's more than just infrasound. They can throw their energy towards you, and it will frighten you so badly that you either run screaming from the woods, basically, or you want to curl up in a fetal position. It's a terrible feeling. I've had it happen one time, and it was the most frightened I've ever been in my life.
So the government,
the government does not want this out. That's the bottom line. They don't want a lot of things out.
The web
doesn't fit with their narrative.
Definitely not. Definitely not. The website, SasquatchGenomeProject.org. And folks, there's more on the horizon that's coming. And I'm convinced at this point. I thank you so much for joining us. This has been one of the most enjoyable shows I think I've done in a while. This, most people are like, oh, Bigfoot. There's too much science here, folks. There's too much facts. There's too many things that 12 independent labs plus hers, 13 total. I did the math. All of it matches. Send this test over here to over here, and it still matched. Yeah. You ain't gonna sell me otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for listening tonight. If you're listening on shortwave, we thank you. If you're on a local station, we also want to say thank you. We'll throw this up on the website very soon. This is Radio Disclosure.